always be people who seek to divide young people in particular and to drive them away from politics and to make sure their voices aren't heard. And I think, you know, from my point of view as a young person in politics, I'm very keen to actually see the opposite. No matter whether they vote for me or my party or not, I don't really mind. But what I do mind is seeing young people left out of the conversation.
Hey there, this is Adam, and you're listening to District Conversations. Don't worry, you won't have to listen to this post-Electric Picnic voice for too long, because this week you'll be listening to Noel Rock, TD for Fine Gael. I sat down with him last month, when I was in much better form, to talk about the issue of ticket touting, which he has crusaded against during his career as Fine Gael's youngest TD. Be sure to keep your ear out for next week's podcast as well. It'll focus on solutions to the touting problem and features an interview with TicketSwap CEO Hans Ober. TicketSwap is a fan-to-fan resale platform operating across Ireland, the UK and Europe that aims to protect fans from touts and scammers.
So yeah, I'm here with Noel Rock. I'm the Fine Gael TD for the north side of Dublin, the youngest government TD, and I'm putting forward a bill to stop ticket touting.
Very good. So yeah, I was wondering, before we get into the bill itself, I was wondering if you wanted to give us a bit of background on yourself, how you got into politics.
Yeah, I mean, my route would be fairly non-traditional. My family wouldn't have been involved in politics. They would have voted for all sorts of different parties when I was younger. But I was lucky enough that I got an internship in my first year of college with Hillary Clinton. So that kind of started me off on the road of politics. I thought I wanted to be a journalist before that, but that kind of turned me head, you know, because, you know, politics fundamentally is about people and their stories and making a difference in their lives. So, you know, that was something I bought into. And now here we are 10 years later.
Very good. So the bill that you're putting forward into Leinster House, it's primarily against ticket reselling.
Yeah, that's right. Particularly above cost ticket reselling. So the name of the bill is the Prohibition of Above Cost Ticket Resale Bill 2017. And what it seeks to do is quite simply to prevent the resale of tickets for above face value. We modelled it on a similar piece of legislation that was initiated in Belgium about 2 years ago. And when it was brought into law, we saw several of the major reselling websites shut down overnight. So it's quite clear that unless there's a major profit incentive and unless there's a major commission involved, that a lot of these ticket resale websites frankly aren't interested in the business. You know, they aren't interested in fans. And you know, over the last 3 years even, what we've seen, I think, is quite clear to any music fan. What we've seen is demand for big ticket events go through the roof, such that the competition is ferocious and it's quite difficult to get tickets, no matter how well you set yourself up on your laptop or how many laptops you set up or how many people, you know, in your group are trying to get a ticket. It's just more difficult than ever. And it seems to me that the reason for that is that ticket touting has become more formalized, more professionalized than ever before. You know,
is that with the advent of the internet?
I think so, yeah. I think technology plays a very big role in it. The ease of accessibility plays a very big role in it. Even just the ability to plan ahead in a way that you perhaps couldn't before. And I always go back to the example of the U2 concerts in Croke Park, whereby any tout would have known that U2 tickets were going on sale about a year in advance. They would have known that anyone who's a member of the U2 fan club can get advance access to tickets before they go on sale to the general public. And they'd also know that it's only about 40 or 50 quid per annum to sign up for a fan club access.
And there's probably, you can probably get a lot more tickets that way than just by logging on to Ticketmaster.
Yeah, well, I mean, certainly you can set up multiple U2 fan club accounts. You know, you could set one up as Noel Rock and then set one up as, I don't know, your brother Neil Rock and your brother Niall Rock. And, you know, suddenly you've got access to maybe a dozen tickets advance on sale for maybe 150 quid of membership costs. And you'd know that you can sell those tickets for maybe 5, maybe 10 times face value within 24 hours. So it's kind of a no-risk proposition.
Yeah, really. Nearly a get-rich-quick scheme.
Yeah, very much so.
So I was wondering, do you have any personal stories about why you're so against ticket touting, or is it just a just a stand that you take?
I think one thing that festered in my head, it's a sports story. Myself and my friend Connor used to go to rugby games every Stephen's Day. And I think it was maybe the second or third year we were going to it. We couldn't get a ticket for whatever reason. And we were outside the stadium and a tout was offering us tickets for maybe two and a half times face value. And a lot of humming and hawing, and we decided, you know, we'll go for it. Well, so we kind of stuck the hand in the pocket, started counting the money. And then this woman kind of got in the way, got in between us and the tout and said, no, no way. I'm not seeing anyone paying that amount for tickets. And she gave us two tickets for free.
Really?
Which I thought was tremendously generous, first of all, and was very much in keeping with the spirit, I think, of kind of sport as well. You know, she had two spare tickets. She saw two young lads effectively paying what was probably our entire Christmas budget almost, yeah. On two tickets, and she said no. And it was funny that the tout, who was very friendly up until then, absolutely effing and blinding at us and at the woman who'd given us the tickets as well. And it just kind of, it always stuck in my head that I thought that this maybe isn't right, that this market maybe isn't right, and that maybe something needed to be done about it.
So recently you went undercover to purchase some tickets from touts on a kind of a naked camera without the comedy style. You know, you had a little hidden camera, you went up to the tout and you called one as well. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if you could give us some information on that.
Yes, I mean, like, that was a kind of a, you know, I suppose a fun experiment to kind of demonstrate the principle of what I've been talking about all this time. So it was the weekend of the Six Nations game, Ireland versus England. It was shaping up to be a huge fixture potentially and a decisive one, but then we lost the previous match, so it wasn't quite the deciding fixture for the Six Nations that it could have been. It was also the weekend of Patrick's Day as well, so it was looking like it was going to be a huge, huge event, with, you know, tickets being touted online before we lost the previous game for up to €2,500 apiece. It was incredible.
And with tickets, like, do you actually see people buy them, or are they just like chancers?
Some of them are just to generate headlines almost, right?
Yeah.
And to demonstrate the issue. But no, you did see transactions going through for four figures, sir.
Because, like you said, if people have the money and they want to see it.
Yeah, if people are desperate enough, you know, and there's a status thing as well, I guess, about being at certain events, right? In the business world and stuff like that, like there is. So at that end of things, you do see people buying them, but normally they're buying them for a particular reason, perhaps. In terms of the undercover work, though, it was good fun. We cut a hole in my laptop bag. We put a hidden camera in there. We got two staff from the press office. We brought them out as well with their mobile phones. And I went and I met a tout and filmed him and had a conversation with him. And he was quoting, I can't remember, I think it's about four or five times face value for the tickets. And I was looking at the tickets and they had the name of the individual on them and they had the name of the club that he'd gotten them off on them as well. And
in that club's bylaws, it probably says...
Oh, yeah, in that club's bylaws, it says no. And in the IRFU's bylaws, it says no. You know, all sporting organisations are very clear about ticket reselling, that it's prohibited. But the problem is, from a sporting point of view, that there's no way of really enforcing that law.
And are there any laws in place in Ireland right now about reselling of tickets? If a guard saw someone, did nothing at all?
No, none. And that's the problem. A lot of people thought and assumed there were, because it's always been seen as kind of a shady practice. But actually, no, there are no laws in place. All there are rules and regulations and the codes of conduct within the various sporting organisations. But there's nothing to stop us doing a trade on tickets for the Ireland-Serbia soccer game right now, or LCD sound system or whatever.
So earlier we heard a personal story from yourself about a touting experience. I was wondering, have any of your constituents or anyone gotten in touch over Twitter and told you any horror stories?
Yeah, absolutely. We got one a few weeks ago, which was just the absolute worst. It was this woman. I haven't met her, but she emailed us about tickets she had purchased for U2. She had purchased four tickets, and her friends were traveling over from Portugal, I think it was. To attend the concert with her. So they booked the flights, they booked the hotel, etc., etc. They booked them from a ticket resale website. I won't say which one because I can't actually remember offhand. It's It's not that I'm defending them. I'd be delighted to drop them in it. But this ticket resale website, like any of the major ones, would provide what they call a ticket guarantee, that they guarantee you a ticket, you know, for this given event, and that you don't need to worry about it, and that it's all 100% legitimate and what have you. So she bought these tickets for, I think it was effectively the front of the Hogan stand, reasonable tickets, supposedly with a circa €150 face value, and she was paying about €600 for them. So 600 per head times four, €2,400 plus commission. Fair whack of money, right?
Yeah.
For what were originally €600 worth of tickets, €2,400. Day before the concert, gets an email from said ticketing company. This transaction has now been cancelled, unfortunately, but thanks to our ticket guarantee, we'll still get you four tickets for the thing. So, day not exactly ruined or anything like that. You know, the hotel booking and the flight booking all still fine, and they're still going to the concert. But it transpired that when she got the tickets, they were up in the gods' restricted view area, face value of something like €40 a head.
Mm.
So she had paid €2,400 for tickets with a combined value of €160. We've also got other ones as well, which are, you know, similarly terrible. We've got two of these of people who have booked tickets off these websites, and they've been duds. Now, they've gotten a refund, but they've went to the venue and tickets haven't worked.
And how can someone sell a dud through a secondhand ticket site?
Sometimes
just a chancer, and
yeah, absolutely. And sometimes they don't directly, you know, these companies wouldn't directly handle the ticket.
Yeah,
it'd be the case that they might send you a stamped addressed envelope or a FedEx, sleeve or whatever, to send them directly to the person who's purchased them for you. But the company themselves wouldn't handle them. So it's actually quite easy to manipulate the kind of the trust relationship there. Because a lot of these websites obviously look quite, you know, legitimate and professional, and they are. But the people who are selling on them may not be. So, you know, you have this kind of asymmetric relationship, I suppose, where the person buying is taking on all the liability, really. And the person selling can be a chancer. And the middleman, well, they're still making fine commission fees anyway. So,
you know, like if you hand over that amount of money and you... That's a hefty dent in your bank balance, you know.
You betcha. And you're at a loss of that for potentially months, because you might have bought from a tout website, you know, months in advance of a concert. So to go for that, you know, loss, if you like, of funds for 4 months and then to have nothing to show at the end of it, it's pretty galling, right?
Yeah.
So, like, look, I think it's a very grey area. I think it's always been a very grey area. I think, you know, these websites all look very legitimate and what have you, but fundamentally fans are still being mistreated left, right and centre, and all the while all we're doing really is paying commission fees to middlemen who are fundamentally distorting the supply-demand equation in the first place.
Okay. So finally, I thought I'd ask, do you think there might be any hurdles that this bill might face?
Yeah, massive hurdles. You know, we're certainly aware of industry lobbying against the bill already. You know, these companies are making an awful lot of money off this, so naturally they're going to fight very hard to keep that cash cow working. So we're aware of a lot of lobbying and you know, arm twisting in relation to this, and threats of jobs being lost, and threats that this won't actually fix the problem, it'll just drive it further underground, etc., etc., etc. But I mean, if you look at it in a very calm, methodic way, the threats don't really add up.
Very good. Well, I really hope it gets through.
Great.
For not just for my sake, but for everyone's sake.
I really appreciate that.
I am sick of paying mad money for
I can imagine.
For a ticket.
It's an occupational hazard for you.
So for my very last question, I thought I would ask, is there anything you'd like to say to young people in Ireland who might feel a bit jaded and might have lost faith in the government?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, don't give in to cynicism. I think whatever you feel about politics and politicians and political parties, you don't necessarily have to subscribe to one. You can always just say that, you know, oh, I like that idea from that party. Oh, that person from that party seems okay. That's fine. That's a good approach to have. It's a very healthy approach to have. I think cynicism and young people getting themselves disinvolved from the political process can often see people like Donald Trump coming to power. And I think that's the kind of ultimate thing that you should be very guarded against, I think. You know, there will always be people who seek to divide young people in particular and to drive them away from politics and to make sure their voices aren't heard. And I think, you know, from my point of view as a young person in politics, I'm very keen to actually see the opposite. No matter whether they vote for me or my party or not, I don't really mind. But what I do mind is seeing young people left out of the conversation. And we see that time and time again. You know, we see it when it comes to, you know, for example, rent, when it comes to the property market, when it comes to education, third level grants, you know, postgraduate grants. You see this pattern time and time again replicating itself of people in their 50s making decisions for people in their 20s. And I think it's quite clear now that there is the biggest divide emerging in Ireland is actually a generational divide. It's those in their 40s and over who have property, had job opportunities, managed to accrue wealth before the Celtic Tiger, to those in their 20s, late 20s, early 30s, who are actually working damn hard, working harder than ever, accruing internships, working to get experience, but forever find themselves kind of running up a downward escalator to a certain extent. And they're searching for answers. And I think the answer is to stay involved, despite the cynicism and despite the frustration of it all, stay involved in the process, because by walking away from it, you're only handing even more momentum to those people in their 50s and 60s. And I don't necessarily think that's the best way to go.
Okay, so there's hope still. Noel, thanks very much.
Great. Thanks a lot.
If you're a fan of heading to gigs and not getting ripped off, you'll want to check out next week's podcast as well, featuring an interview with Hans Ober, CEO of Ticketswap.